Well, welcome back to Tales of Southwest Michigan's Past. I am your host, Michael Delaware, and today I have a special guest who is a librarian with the Willard Library in Battle Creek, Michigan. His name is Mac McCullough, and his focus includes local digital collections, history, and community outreach for the Willard Library. He also hosts his own podcast for the library. And today, we're going to talk about some of the history of the Willard Library and how it's impacted the community through the years. Welcome to the show, Mac. Thanks for taking time this morning to be with me.
It's great to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to work for the library and what made you interested in local history?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, you got to go back to when I came here in the first place. I moved to Battle Creek on August 2nd, 1998. The date sticks in my head because my son Joseph was born the very following morning.
Oh my gosh. So that's a good way to remember something.
I'd come to work for the Battle Creek Inquirer at the time, and I was the managing editor at the time. And, you know, I didn't plan to stick around, but, you know, it's just one of those things that I came from a small town in Western Pennsylvania and from a family who had been there since before there was a town. So I had a natural inclination to really understand local communities. My chosen career was a newspaper journalist, and I landed here and became the editor in 2001, and rode that wave that all newspapers rode in the 90s and into the 2000s, where we kept shrinking. And in 2016, I lost my job as the editor and general manager of the Inquirer. Luckily enough, I'd been around enough and some folks that I knew at the library gave me a call and said, "Hey, why don't you think about coming to work for us?" And I jumped at the chance, because I thought that there was a lot of, commonality in our missions and in our, you know, and I could see myself doing a lot of good things there. So,
well, it's an incredible institution. I think our Willard Library's got to be one of the best in the state.
Yeah,
I mean, I love the research capabilities both there on site and online. I mean, it's very much a modern library, and a lot of my historical research I do through the Willard Library archives. So it's a tremendous resource for the community. Tell us a little about the history of how I know Charles Willard was the original donor for the library when he passed away in his estate. But there was also Alan Willard, his father. And then there was a lot of history before the library was in existence. Before then, it was a school library.
Well, it started, it was controlled by the school. And in fact, that's why Willard Library actually rents its space from Battle Creek Public Schools, which owns this building. And the old part of the library is the school administration. We're actually in the new part. Charles Willard, that's the for whom the library is named. But you really got to go back farther than that. I like to think of Willard Library as a reflection of this really radical idea that really was a product of the time in which it came. You know, the Michigan State Legislature made a provision for public libraries in its 1836 Constitution, and Battle Creek had a public library from about 1840 on. It was in the township building. Eventually, it was in the old Union School building, and really kind of evolved very slowly from a very small community up to what we recognize today as, you know, Battle Creek's heyday. The first major donation was actually by a guy named Henry B. Denman, who died in, I think 1865 is might not be the right date, but he left $50,000 to the library to build really its first big collection, and that really made the library a true public library in what we think of the modern sense. His donation was pared back because heirs had fought over it, and it was settled for $10,000. But it really was the beginning of what we think of when we think of a public library in Battle Creek. Charles Willard, he was the son, as you mentioned, of Alan Willard. They were pioneer settlers in the Goguack Lake area. Alan, and I saw that your video clip on Dubois Cemetery, or Dubois Cemetery, if you prefer. I came from Pennsylvania, and we had Dubois, Pennsylvania, right down
the road. Yeah, Dubois or Dubois. I could never find an accent. You know, it's hard to get the pronunciation from just reading it. But
But Alan was a he had attended Dartmouth College out east. He came from do you recall, was it Vermont that he came from?
I seem to recall it was Vermont. Yeah. I mean, he was quite an academic. He had his two boys a college education before they were in their early 20s. I mean, he had raised them with, you know, everything from academic books to the Constitution to the Bible. You know, he had a huge library in his own house, as I recall, that he may have donated.
Yeah,
or may have found its way into the library at Willard. I don't know.
Yeah, and he passed on that love of classics and literature and study to both of his sons. Interestingly enough, Charles Willard, unlike his brother George, who obviously went on to fame as a congressman and was a major political and religious figure as well, a strong in anti-slavery sentiment, for example. So quite a public figure in his time. Charles Willard did not go on to school. Basically spent his life running his farm, running the family farm up there on the lake, and just pursuing his own interests and also just investing very wisely, which of course led him to have the kind of wealth that he had.
He had invested in several businesses, as I recall.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes. And, you know, it was quite successful, but, you know, it's surprising to some people to think, in fact, I came across the headline in an old Inquirer that he was only a farmer, but he had a lot of interests and, you know, the library, was one of his, three major bequests that he left behind.
Yeah, YMCA was the other, and then there was another institution over in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, Kalamazoo College, right. Yeah. And, he had an affinity, it's been written a few places, for brainy women. And one of the conditions of his gift to create the library was that there be a room set aside for the women's clubs.
Really?
Yeah. So he was quite an interesting guy. And that really created the what we think of today as Willard Library, the building that fronts on Capitol.
Well, it's a... You got to think that his father's academic prowess had a lot to do with their development, because the George went on to becoming a congressman.
Yes. Yes, and, absolutely.
He's pretty well renowned.
Yeah.
Several transformations of the library over the decades since then, right? Because you've added more space and they had a few building changes to where it is now.
Yeah, it's been a story of pretty amazing growth. I thought you asked me to think about who the significant directors were. And of course, everybody knows about Helen Warner, whose name graces the branch, and we can talk a little bit about her. But Ada Stevens McCutcheon, who was the director between 1928 to 1943, I believe, which was the year that Helen Warner was appointed. She was an interesting figure in Willard Library's history. I mean, she came about, of course, at the beginning of the Depression and served into the war years. And she really, that was in 1935, WPA money paid for one of the first expansions of the library, which was growing like gangbusters. In her time as director, it doubled in the size of its collection. And she was really, I would say, the first modern librarian in the sense that really saw the library as a community center.
She started in 1943, according to the PowerPoint you sent me this morning.
No, I believe she ended in 1943. It was Helen Warner who started in 1943.
Right. That's what I mean. I'm sorry. Helen Warner started in 43. Okay.
But Ada Stevens McCutcheon, she was a Democrat in her principles and her politics. She had a picture of Roosevelt in her office, which in today's library would not be acceptable to show such a partisan bias by the library director. But she was something else, and she really helped people learn about the war, for example, and added collection, helped people understand the war. During the Depression, she really tried to make the library a place where people could figure out what they were going to do next, because there was a lot of unemployed people. So she laid a lot of that groundwork. And then, of course, Helen Warner, who joined the library staff in 1943 as the director. I mean, she brought with her just a lot of credentials and experience in libraries. And she really presided over a great amount of growth in the library. But by the time she left in 1971, the library had become a district library. The school districts had combined to create a millage to pay for library funding, which at the time, you know, before that, it was always allocations from individual districts. The expansion as we know it today, that beautiful entryway and the stairs and
right.
all that. So that was her. And she really, she added the bookmobile, for example.
Yeah, I was just looking at the pictures of the bookmobile here. I was going to mention that. That is very original for the time, 1968, the bookmobile launched, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the cool things about this library is that it was forever on the cutting edge of, public librarianship, so to speak, in Battle Creek. It really had its roots in kind of this very progressive ideal about everybody having access to the knowledge of the world, which was really a radical idea. I mean, that's truly an American invention and institution, the public library. And we were right on the front of that.
Yeah, it's got quite a fascinating history. And they added the automated catalogs in 1992 and then searchable newspaper index in 93, which has been tremendously incredible for researchers. There's so much.
The index, and then later it was actually one of, it's kind of ironic, when I was the editor of the paper, we were looking, I worked with the library to get the approval of the Gannett Company, which owns the Battle Creek Inquirer and a lot of other newspapers,
right,
to enable Willard Library to make all of the newspaper holdings in Battle Creek all the way back to the 1840s available online. It's a really unique resource.
Now, there's a gap in newspapers that are missing from the Civil War period. Has there been any effort to locate those? I know I came across a reference with Bernice Bryant Lowe where she mentions that a lot of the newspapers in that time were sent off to the war efforts. The soldiers would use them for wadding and their guns and that sort of thing. And maybe they were just being shipped or destroyed or whatever. But is there an effort to find at least copies so we can get scanned copies of those?
I tell you what, if someone knows where there are any of those, we'd be happy to take that project on. We're always looking for stuff to add to the collection. There's no coordinated effort that I'm aware of to go close that gap. But
if somebody comes across some 1862 to 1865 newspapers in your attic out there, when you buy an old house and you discover these, bring them down to the Willard Library because they're probably a gold mine for researchers.
Yeah, I'm in that archive all the time, and it's really fascinating to look at it and really think about the history of the community.
Yeah, there's such a wealth of information there. It's amazing. So have there been any other famous people that had visited the library over the years?
Yeah, you asked me that in an email, and I kind of racked my brain to think about who that might have been. Obviously, we've had tremendous author visits. I mean, some really household names. And in fact, in June this year, we have James Patterson coming to town. So,
oh, wow. Okay, so there's a big name. Yeah,
I mean, We kind of joke. I mean, when James Patterson comes out with a new book, which seems like every other week, we have to get like 40 copies of them because they're in such high demand. So that's going to be a fun visit and talk. I think they've tapped me to do the interview on stage, so I'm trying to bone up on that a little bit.
I've read a few of his books in my time.
Harlan Coben. Janet Walls, the author of Glass Castle, one of the Battle Creek Reads books that I enjoyed quite a bit. William Kent Kruger has been here. Mitch Albom has been here. Quite a list of folks. Ever James Olmos came here back, I think, in the early 2000s, as well as Desmond Tutu. So there's been quite a few people. I was looking for some evidence that some some real historic figures came through. I didn't come up with it, but I wouldn't be surprised to find it.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe somebody like Eleanor Roosevelt had stopped by the library when she came to town and visited.
Yeah, that was my first thought as well. I mean,
she was such a people person when she came through,
Yeah, yeah.
But I think she went over to the hotels and that sort of thing. And spent
she
day
was at
there
the hospital as well, the military, the Percy Jones Hospital.
So has there any other unique stories about the library? Any incidents that may great finds or great donations that have been made that changed?
Well, I think, you mentioned the Willards and obviously Charles Willard gets a lot of attention for very good reason. But, his brother George also helped put the library on the map with his making it a repository of congressional records, for example, when he was serving.
Yeah, that I didn't know until I was reading the information you sent me. That's amazing that he took the...
And Charles's nephew, George Willard, also made a significant contribution to the library, along with WPA money, which helped pay for the expansion under Ada Stevens McCutcheon as well. So those have been important donations. Obviously, more recently, we've had the donation from the late Mr. Barnum at KCC, who had made a significant donation to the library, as well as some other institutions in town.
I read about that. That's great. That's going to be very helpful for future.
Yeah.
For the Absolutely. Future of the library just in research and expanding and the resources as the digital age is always changing. So, there's probably going to be faster and better ways to do things, and it'll help the library stay on the cutting edge of everything.
That's right. Yeah. The thing about Willard Library is, I imagine a lot of libraries can tell this story, but it's just so beloved, I hear all the time that, people who travel a lot will come back and say Willard Library is a better library than cities with twice the size,
I think it's one of my favorite places in the whole city. I just enjoy going there.
Yeah.
I kind of have to keep myself out of there because I'll just spend hours,
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just so the smell of books and walking around and just the, I do spend hours and hours on the online section. I know that. And I also listen to a lot of books from Willard Library when I'm driving around the car. It's just such an integral part of the community. And I just really love how the library has kind of embraced the digital age too, because they have, you have your online lending library resources and audiobooks and ebooks. And so if you ever need a reference, even when the library's closed, you can find it online.
The apps that we use, the Libby and Hoopla, really, we're all about access and going to where people are. I mean, it's actually been a tough couple of decades for libraries because, the advent of these things right here.
The cell phones.
Changed everything. And a lot of folks who, for example, read books, it's so easy to go to Amazon in like 2 seconds, you have your book for, a relatively nominal fee. But it's changed the way people interact. And so libraries have had to adapt, Libraries have had to invest a lot in programming, things to bring people into the building, and then also to go where people are. And also the kinds of services that we provide. I mean, obviously books and films, you can take out DVDs and things like that. But we spend a lot of our energy in helping people navigate the digital world by using our computers, by using our internet access during the pandemic. Of course, our internet access continued, even though we were closed for a while. That's a big part of our mission and why we're so involved in county efforts to expand broadband internet access throughout the county, because we really see the gap between people who have access and people who don't, and the people who rely on us to bridge that gap. It's significant.
That kind of brings me into my next question. What are some of the events and activities that we can look forward to this year at the Willard Library?
Well, we're so excited because we're having people in the library. It's been really, really tough to for us who are so community grounded to not be able to welcome in the kind of, the numbers that we've had. So I just mentioned James Patterson, author visits in person. You take them for granted until you can't have them. It's always been a staple of Willard Library, you know, the Battle Creek Reads program every year, you know, and that's coming up. We also, you know, we do a tremendous amount of children's programming. We have an excellent children's services staff. And we have something almost every day during the summer to keep kids reading during the summer, because we know how important it is to keep kids engaged in books, because there's always that slide that we worry about when kids lose progress over the summer when they're not in school.
That's another great addition that we didn't tap on, was there was an incredible children's section added at some point in the history of the library. And it's really, it's quite beautiful. It's really well done when you go there. It's just...
Yeah, it is a beautiful little room in there. And it's, you know, if you've not been in that, and a lot of people watching this probably have, but you've got the a fake tree for kids to sit under, and you have lots of nice sitting, and it's a great view of the city as well. Actually, the addition of the Children's Library initially, again, came under Ada Stevens McCutcheon. I want to make it one of my missions over time to get people to really know what she did, because it's not a name that people recognize. But that was when we added our first children's library. And also folks who remember the old children's library room will remember the mural on the wall that was painted by a couple of Battle Creek art instructors. That mural still exists outside the children's library, in the hallway outside between that and the programming room.
Wow. So that was preserved and kept the new building.
I mean, it's a little dated. I mean, you know,
yeah, of course,
but, you know, people, it's kind of a joke when you think about the old nursery rhymes and the old children's stories, how scary they really were, and not what we'd call today as politically correct, but it really is a marvelous mural and piece of artwork, and it has been preserved, and I like walking down the hall and taking a look at it every now and then. But yeah, our children's staff is really just top notch. It's run by Tanisha Dungy, who is a longtime educator, Alicia Doherty, and Stephanie Boyd, among others. And we do a lot of work and outreach with families. We also have the teen room downstairs to give local young people a place to go after school. And so that's been a staple. Other programs, I mean, my program will continue. I do, as you mentioned, the podcast, Stories at Sundown, which has been a real joy. That was born in the pandemic, and we're going to continue it.
That's good. That's good to hear.
The Past, which is another history program that we pull in, and it's virtual. We're experimenting with ways now to do hybrids, where we can both stream online but also have a studio audience, since we have that capability now.
Wow, that's going to be really exciting to look forward to. I've watched some of those episodes on YouTube, and they're pretty informative. I mean, they're just, you have like two or three different historians that are just jamming packed with all this facts and figures that you just go, whoa.
It's a lot.
I had no idea. You know, these guys are really knowledgeable.
It's just a lot of fun. I've been leaning on Kurt Thornton a lot for this series, and he brings both vast knowledge and comic relief to our programs. We focused on aviation, which was really fascinating to look at the history of aviation in Battle Creek. We did a long program on Sojourner Truth, which was also just fascinating. It's one of those stories you think you know, and then if you really dive into it, I mean, what an extraordinary woman, and what an extraordinary story, and what an extraordinary commentary on the kind of place that Battle Creek was in that period in history. Really,
most definitely,
a hotbed of abolitionist sentiment, the Quaker settlement, the spiritualists, on and on. Battle Creek has just long been this place that has attracted people who are really progressive in their thinking. And, and that's part of why I think the library itself has thrived, over the centuries.
Yeah, it's been through everything, the sanitarium and all. It's survived. It's one of the legacy buildings that are still around, that is center of the community. You know, we don't have the sanitarium anymore, but we still have the Willard Library.
That's right.
Well, it's been a wonderful chatting with you today, Mac. I just got so much information about some of the history of the library, and we'll definitely have to get together you on some other topics that cover on your invite that you offer to come and join you on your podcast sometime, and we'll have some fun with that too, talk about local history. So
I tell you, there is so much interest in history right now. I mean, I've been at the library now for 5 years, and there's just a steady uptick in people having inquiries and doing research. And I think it's a reflection of our time. There's a growing appreciation for that. And that's exciting too.
Well, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate taking the time today, and we'll definitely have to have you back on. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute to leave a review on whatever app you're using or listening to. And be sure to visit the Willard Library. I will put the link to their website, if you're unfamiliar with it, on the description of this podcast so that you can check it out, and certainly go become a member if you live in the Battle Creek community. And until next time, when we explore some more history in Southwest Michigan, thanks for listening.